Well, if you have your Bibles, let's open up to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Looking at verses 6 through 9 tonight. We're going to go ahead and read verse 5 because last week we were supposed to look at 5 through 9, but again, have Bible will babble, and that's what I did. And so we got one verse, and so we're going to do the rest of them tonight. Why don't we read, though, 5 again just to get kind of the running go into that, and then we'll go back and, again, start looking at verse 6 from that point on much closer. Notice it says, "So David went out wherever Saul sent him, and he behaved wisely. And Saul set men over the men of war, Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now what happened is they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. And so the women sang as they danced and they said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens thousands.' And Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, 'Well, they've ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they've ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?' And so Saul eyed David from that day forward." Last week we started looking at the principles of advancement in God's kingdom. Sounds like kind of a funny title. It's not that we're supposed to be seeking to be great necessarily because we want to be better than others, but really my heart behind this was, and I felt what God was putting in my heart when I thought of this title and we started looking at this particular portion was, a lot of us want to be used in greater ways in the kingdom, but we don't know how. And so we say, "Lord, I want to be used greater, but what do I do to be used greater? How can I be used greater?" And so we started looking last week at part one, this is part two, at the principles of advancement in God's kingdom. We're going to finish that obviously with the same topic. Although our main goal and principle for being used in greater ways by God is servanthood, there are certain other principles that we talked about that can be observed and employed if we want to go down the path of further use. It starts with servanthood. That's where it begins. You want to be used by the Lord? Be a servant. There's just no other way around it. There's no other avenue to employ. There's nothing else we need to be a servant. And you might wonder, well, what is being a servant? You know, really being a servant is very simple. It's looking for what needs to be done and serving others. It can be something very simple. And it can be something more complex, but it's just servanthood, whatever the avenue may be. God says that's what makes you great in the kingdom. Servanthood is the first one we mentioned as far as the principles. And I repeat this for those of you that were taking notes from last week or want to kind of get a run and go into this week. We started with servanthood, remember. We saw in verse 5, it says, David went out wherever Saul sent him. And so we saw that David, just whatever Saul asked him to do, he did it. And he did it without complaining. He did it without grumbling. And he did it with joy and with a step in his spirit. And why? Because David was doing it for God, not for his boss, not for his king. He wasn't doing it for Saul's sake. David was doing it for God. And we talked about as we come under authority and we serve those around us, we do it for the Lord. That's the reason we do it. And what's so wonderful about that principle is if your boss is terrible, if your husband and wife are unreasonable, anyone that you're serving, whatever the case might be, if you do it for the Lord, it doesn't matter what they're like. Now, certainly it's better if they're nicer. That's good. But you're not doing it for them. This is not about them, although they're blessed. This is about the Lord and being obedient to him and doing what he wants us to do and saying, "Jesus, I'm here to serve you." And, you know, sometimes you have to do dirty jobs. You know, you have to, you know, I've heard it said you're going to work with sheep, you know, and you're going to work with any kind of animal like that. You have to be willing to get dirty ever so often. And yet when you realize I'm going to get dirty for the Lord, it's all right. And so there's the servanthood. It was the first principle you looked at. Then there was the authority and the ability to submit to it. Notice in verse 5, it said he went wherever he told him to do. And again, not only is that obedience and servanthood, but it's doing what he asked him to do, submitting to authority. That was the second principle that we looked at. And again, you're never going to advance in God's kingdom if you're first not a servant. And if you're secondly not able to submit to authority, you're just, God can't use you. He can't use me. It's absolutely essential. Now, otherwise, we'll never be used in any great way. What was the third thing? Notice it says that David behaved wisely. Remember we talked about that meant that David thought everything through. It gives a picture of thinking about every aspect of all he was asked to do, reasoning it in his mind, thinking it through and saying, how can I do this the best unto the Lord? And how can I do this the best unto King Saul, the one that God has put over me? And because David behaved himself wisely, that was the third principle of being advanced in the kingdom. Notice the immediate result. It says that Saul set him over the men of war. He was advanced. God saw that he was faithful. And then Saul saw that he was faithful and that he was trustworthy. He set him over his men. And the result of that, remember we talked about the results of following those principles again. He was accepted there in verse 5 in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So everyone liked David and accepted him because he behaved himself wisely. Because he was a servant. Because he came under authority. And all these things that are needed for us to be used in the kingdom. And God will do the same thing for us if we'll simply apply these principles. Tonight we're going to see the fourth and final principle of advancement in God's kingdom, and that is we're going to look at the need for humility. So if you're taking notes, you've got the first three, you can put the fourth one down, humility. And I've let the cat out of the bag before we get there, because again, that's the direction we're heading. And that's most exciting to me, again, what about our prayer time tonight? Because the first thing that was being prayed about is, Lord, the need for us to be humble, the need for humility, the need for meekness. You know, we hear the term meek, and we oftentimes equate the word meek with the word weak. Meek is not weak. And humble doesn't mean that your chin's down everywhere. You know, the Bible says God's the lifter of our head. Now, not any higher than it needs to be, because then that becomes pride. You know, you can see pride, can't you? The head goes up. But the lifter of our head means it's not that we're bowed down in shame all the time and we can't just walk, you know, straight forward, you know, with our head straight up doing what God's called us to do. But it's the position of the heart. It's a humble heart bowed before the Lord. It's an attitude of realizing, you know, that you are God in heaven and here I am on earth. That song we just sang. So I'll let my words be few. Now, that one I haven't gotten yet, but I know it mentally. I at least know it. It takes a while for it to work down in my heart. I mean, how do you stop something? I mean, my nickname as a kid was Motormouth, and I don't think it's changed much now. You know, there's Motormouth. That's what they called me, you know. I think it's kind of humorous because God knew I was going to have four girls. And he said, hey, you got to be able to keep up with them. So anyway, my girls talk a lot. If you've been around them, you know that. Just this constant, you know. And so God says, you're going to get a dose of what you did to everybody else your whole life growing up. But humility, how important humility is. I read about a pastor just today who was voted the most humble pastor in America. This is humorous to me. This is funny to me. You ready? He was voted the most humble pastor in America, and his congregation gave him a medal for it. They said he wore it the next Sunday, and so they took it away from him. Isn't that great? But what a lesson in humility. It's like, I'm the most humble pastor. Here's my thing to show it. You know, right? Humility is something that it just has to happen. It's not something you can fake or pretend. You ever see somebody try to be humble? It's almost as disgusting as pride. You know, I'm just nobody, you know. I'm just nothing. You know, and that's not what humility is. Humility is a mature grasp and understanding of who God really is. And who we really are. That's humility. It's just walking where we know we're supposed to walk. And understanding that. I remember years ago when I was in Santa Fe. And I was at the time when my pastor would leave. You know, I was very young. And he would leave. And he would leave me in charge to do teaching and watch over the fellowship there and things like that. And I remember, you know, God speaking in my heart and saying, Mark, you need to learn how to walk proper now. Because you're young and, you know, don't. You know, you can't think about yourself as anything. You know, it's an honor you can even serve in this way. But you got to guard yourself, you know. And he gave me a picture in my mind of a hallway. I'll never forget it. It wasn't like some kind of vision where all of a sudden everything got bright. But he very clearly spoke to my heart and put a picture in my mind of a hallway. And there were people, you know, moving in and about the hallway. And there was a ceiling on the hallway. And he spoke to me. He said, now, if you get too high, you'll bump your head. He said, but if you lay down, everybody's going to trip over you. He said, so walk where I've called you to walk. And I thought, what a beautiful picture of humility that is. I wish I could say that made me humble. It didn't. That was God just showing me what humility is. Humility is something God has to do over time. And we all struggle with pride. We all have everything. Sometimes we get prideful, don't even know we're prideful. You know, God has to reveal it. You think, man, what am I doing? What am I thinking? But we have to learn to walk where we are, not to bump our head, not to bump those that God has put over us, not to get more high than we should be. But if we lay down in some kind of false humility and do nothing and don't walk where God has called us to walk, then other believers are going to trip over us because we're not doing what God's called us to do. David now is learning humility. God is teaching David humility. And David had humility. This was easy at the beginning. See, right now is the easy time for David to have humility. Why? He was a shepherd boy. He watched sheep out in the field. All he did was go down to see guys at the battle and take them some food, you know, and what's going on? And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on him, and he goes and kills Goliath. And it's like, yes, you maybe could get puffed up real quick about something like that. But David, at this point, just didn't see himself as anybody special. He saw himself as just a little shepherd boy, and this was a great place for David's heart. And David, for the most part, throughout his life, stayed in that place of humility. We know the stumbles David had and the things that happened in David's life. But again, God now sees this in David, and this fourth principle of being used in humility is why David was able to be used. Pastor Chuck often says that, you know, he even thinks that God doesn't use a lot of people in big ways because very few people can handle it. Very few people can handle true power. You know, you've heard the saying that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's our sin nature. We tend to, for some reason, when something goes right, I think one of the most dangerous times for someone is right when something wonderful happens in their life. Because that's the time where you think, hey, I can be puffed up. And something wonderful had just happened in David's life. He had just killed Goliath, a great leader now for the nation. God raising him up and showing him that he called him. Man, this could have been a time for David to think he was about something. And yet what I love about David is he said, no, I'm still just a shepherd. And I love this because a true leader, somebody who's truly humble, they can come under the authority of another and they have no trouble serving them in that position. They have no trouble coming under and saying, you know, I don't mind being here. I don't have to be top dog, so to speak. What do you want me to do, God? I'll do whatever you ask me. That was the heart of David. It was a heart of humility, and it was true humility. It wasn't fake humility. It wasn't manufactured humility. It was true humility. And I think that we have to ask God to give that. We have to say, Lord, please, you know, make me truly humble, not humble because I'm trying to be, and not humble because, and I do think there's a place to humble ourselves. You know, we sing that song, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And I think sometimes we have to just do that. We just get on our knees before God and say, God, I'm just humbling myself before you. I'm just manifesting that right now before you. And that's okay. But there's a beauty to true humility that you just can't really replace. You know, I've run into a few people in my life that I consider to be truly great. And one of the things that's amazed me the most about them is how normal and humble they are. Just amazing. You know, you're with them and you think, this is the person that has affected the change, a change in the world. And yet they don't think of themselves as, they're just kind of who they are. And that's a hard place to be. It's hard to do that. It's hard to be used by the Lord or have those abilities. And, you know, I remember people say, I wonder why more people don't have like the gift of healing. Why you don't see that operate more and this kind of thing. You do see it, but why don't you see it operate more? And again, I think because few people could handle that. If God really used somebody in here, if he used me, used you, and all of a sudden we started praying and people were healed, how many people could really handle that? How many people would write a book about how to heal? How many people would start their own ministry? Healing Hands Ministry. Healing Hands Ministries and whatever, and they have their picture all over, and you know, this kind of thing. It's something about human nature. We start to try to take the glory. And David had it down where he didn't take the glory, and God was able to use him. And so now we see him behaving himself wisely, accepted in the sight of the people and also in Saul's servants. Verse 6, it happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. And the women sang as they danced, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Now, can you imagine the scene? Here they are. There's just this huge excitement. The Philistines have been defeated. There's been this great victory. God has moved in a powerful way. They're traveling back and the crowds are just, yes. And they would do this. Whenever they won battles, the women would come out. They would do their dances and their tambourines and this kind of thing in honor of what had happened. It was a very kind of festive thing that was happening here. And I try to imagine what it was like for Saul, because Saul was very excited about the great reception. Here he was coming in, King Saul, King of Israel, all the women, all the people, and especially the women, you know, flattering the men, you know, flattering Saul, because the women are, ooh, you know, you're this and you're that, right? And he's got this whole thing, and all of a sudden he's expecting to come in there, Saul, you're the one, yes, you know, Saul, and you're thinking, you know, they're singing me a song, and certainly they're going to talk about this and that, and Saul, we know how to struggle with pride. This was Saul's main problem, and Saul's downfall was pride. And so now this man who struggles with pride comes riding in, and all the women, you know, Saul has slain his thousands, that's right, Saul has slain, that's right, thank you, I've slain my thousands, Saul has slain his thousands, and David is 10,000, what? This little kid who got lucky with one rock? You know, and he hasn't been around. What do you mean David has slain his 10,000s? What's this all about? I can just imagine the sudden shock and drop in his heart as he sees and hears all these people and these women praising David for the battle more than him. And you know, when you've got an issue with pride and somebody else gives somebody around you adulation, that's upsetting. Why are they getting that? I should be getting that. I'm the one. See, pride is I. Me, 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 me. That's what pride's all about. I think one of the reasons pride is so powerful is that's where Satan fell. And Satan uses pride because he knows the weakness of our flesh. He knows it. And I think pride is one of the most powerful anti-God tools in the world. You can deal with almost any problem someone has. Drugs, alcohol, sex. You know, you name all the problems. You can talk to people. But if they've got pride, you know what? It's ugly, isn't it? Who do you think you are to tell me, Mr. Holier Than Thou? I know what's right. I'm going to be fine. Really?
Yes, don't you, judging me. Who do you think you are? Right? Pride. It's ugly. You know, when somebody comes to us and they have a word of correction or a word of something, they may be wrong, they may be right, but we should receive every word of it and take it to the Lord and say, Lord, now wait a minute here. Somebody came to me and they said they see something in my life. I don't see that, but I may be blind here. And you get before the Lord, you get quiet and say, God, I need you now to open my eyes and show me. And God will do one or two things. He'll be faithful to do it. You keep seeking him. He'll either say, ignore it, they're wrong, you're okay. Or he'll say, they're saying the truth. You got an area here that you need to deal with. And then you just have to humble yourself and say, Lord, all right, here I am. Strip me bare, Lord. And what do I need to do to get it right? See, that's humility. Being able to receive. You know, whenever you go up to somebody and they can't receive, they won't even listen to what you're saying. Now, there's a difference. There were times when Jesus knew that the people coming to him were full of pride and they were simply trying to be obnoxious, and he rebuked them. Lord, there's a coin here, and you know, are we supposed to give taxes to Caesar or not? You see, there was a big argument back then about whether the people of Israel should pay taxes to Caesar, because they said if we give taxes to Caesar, we're not being loyal to God. The zealots said that. And yet the others were saying, no, we have to give taxes to Caesar to come under the governing authorities, you know, and to be faithful to Rome. And if you didn't pay taxes and they found out about it, Rome would come down hard on you. They were trying to trap the Lord. So they weren't coming to the Lord with some type of real question. They were coming to the Lord trying to trap him. And Jesus said, you know what? Hypocrites, you know, give me a coin. And see, that was humility. There are times when somebody comes up and they're only asking a question or making a comment or a statement because they're sent of the enemy. And in those cases, yes, rebuke is appropriate and stopping it right in his tracks. But then there are other times that we need to be sensitive to the Spirit to make sure that God might not be saying something and working in our hearts. And see, where Saul should have been right here, Saul should have been saying, no, wait a minute, why? You know, okay, it's bothering me. Let's just confess this. That's bothering me. But why is this bothering me? If I didn't think I was great and didn't want to be great, that wouldn't bother me. And so there must be some issue going on, and he's dealing with this pride. And pride, you know, Satan again, we talked about that. He's the one, you know, when you read about Satan, right before God threw him out of heaven, he said, I will exalt to the throne of God, the farthest sides of the north. I will do this, I will do that, I will do that. And God said, I'm casting you down. Threw him out of heaven. Why? Pride. If Saul had simply humbled himself before God and the people, this wouldn't have bothered him. As a matter of fact, he himself would have said, you know what, David, God used you back there, man. Awesome. Awesome. Sometimes you see God using people in ways, and again, I use Santa Fe stories because a lot of them go back to where my, you know, roots go and beginning of really serving the Lord as far as in the ministry. And, you know, I would see God do certain things. You see other ministries, you know, and you'd see, you know, I was over the youth group for a while, and you'd see other youth groups, you know, in large churches just exploding and all these things happening, you know. And you think, Lord, you know, why aren't you doing that here? Why is that exploding there? And God being challenged my heart. Now, are you concerned about that because you want to see a great move of my spirit among the teens here, or you just wish you were the one leading a big youth group? Wow. Okay, thank you, Lord. Busted. I'm with you. And then God has to change that. This is when you know your heart's in the right place. When you see someone maybe that does the same thing you do and it seems to be going better for them than you, and you thank the Lord for it. Lord, thank you for what you're doing through that ministry or that person. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. I remember hearing of a man who, during the days of Charles Spurgeon, it was either Charles Spurgeon or Dwight Moody, and I apologize, I don't have the example. I hadn't planned on using it. It popped in my mind, but I remember reading it in one of my illustration books, and he found out that there's this great move of God going on down the street, and he said, well, I want to go find out, you know, another pastor. He goes down to find out. It was either Moody or Spurgeon, one of the two. And he just said he saw God pouring out his spirit in such an amazing way. He said, this is just unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this. And he went back and said, you know what? God is not doing that here at our fellowship. We're closing the doors, and we're all going to go down there. And the whole church shut down and started going to that other fellowship. Now, that's humility. And that doesn't mean that every church where, you know, they don't feel like God's moving. I think another thing is just to cry out to God and say, God, do what you're doing here, there. But he obviously knew in his heart that God wanted him to go and join up with that. And being able to do that and say, you know what, I'm just here to support you. I'm here to encourage you. That's humility. It's a beautiful thing when you see it. And David had humility, but pride is destructive and it's deceptive. And it's revealed here as Saul's main problem, which brings us again to the fourth principle of advancement in God's kingdom. And that is we have to resist pride. We have to resist it.
and seek humility. 1 Peter 5:5 says this, yes, all of you be submissive to one another. I love this, and be clothed with humility. You know, when you clothe yourself with something, you're completely wrapped up in it, completely. And it's a great place to be. It's a clothing of humility, you know, and being submissive to one another, you know, listening to one another, not thinking you have all the answers. And, you know, you've been around longer and you've done all this and this little young whippersnapper, what could they possibly say to you? I spoke with another pastor recently who is extremely educated, older than I am, just a beautiful brother in the Lord, a true spirit of humility. And here I am, this nobody, and this guy's got all these letters and he's got these things after his name and these doctors so-and-so whatever, and that didn't go to his head. That's just kind of what he's done, and that's fine. That's great. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. But I was stunned when he looked at me and said, share with me your theology on this particular subject. I think there's things that I need to know. I'm thinking, let me get somebody for you. You're way down the road beyond me. You've been trained way more. What could I possibly? But here's what was sweet. What was sweet about his heart was is that, you know what? If you love the Lord, it doesn't matter what all your little things are. God probably has shown you something that I need to, let's talk about it. And God really spoke to my heart and thought, you know what, Mark, would you do the same? If you had doctor before your name and some younger pastor came in and sat down, would you say to them, you know what, I really need your counsel and I'd like to hear your viewpoint on this. Could you share with me? Or would I say, you know, it's been this many years in the ministry and there's been a lot of training on. I'd like to share a couple things with you to help you along the way. Now, did that just make you want to vomit? Because that's what pride is. Pride makes you want to throw up. It's just ugly. And yet there's a sweetness to humility. We need to pray. And I want to pray again before we're done tonight. Ask us, God, make us humble. I don't know that we should ever even pray, Lord, keep us humble, because that is the assumption that we are. Our prayer should be, make us humble and show us every time we're prideful, because probably sometime every day it happens. Something we think we do or know or whatever. Part of the example of humility is submitting yourself to one another. I love to notice he says, be clothed with humility. And why? Here's why. This is a scary sentence to me. For God resists the proud, but here's the good part. He gives grace to the humble. Isn't that great? If we just humble ourselves and say, you know what, Lord, I've just been really a pride-filled jerk here. He says, now I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to change those around you. They're going to see you in a different light as well. Humility, brokenness. And whenever you see submissive hearts and obedient hearts and behaving wisely like David was doing, eventually you will be advanced in the kingdom of God. It doesn't always mean you're going to be up on some stage or this or that, but you're going to be advanced in the kingdom of God. When that happens, there's a danger. If God ever chooses to use any of us in any way, there's a danger. And the danger is not only that we could be prideful and think we're about something, we've covered that. We have to ask God to say, you know what, Lord, we know the truth. We know. The Bible says, what do you have that God didn't give you? You know, so if you use me for any way, Lord, I know it's from you. But here's the danger is we can't stop other people from praising us. You can't stop other people from talking about how, wow, you know, you this, you that, and I saw how God used you. And, you know, God will use you guys and everything. Somebody's going to come up to you and say, wow. And there's a difference. There's nothing wrong in encouragement and that kind of thing. Don't get me wrong. We can encourage one another that God used each other. And I think that's a good thing. We have to be careful. You know, as these women were singing and praising, you know, David could have thought, you know, I have slain my 10,000s and I have done this and all that, and begin to go to the head. So the way we handle and respond to the recognition of being used by God will be key to whether God can use us anymore. Again, if we think we're about something, we're done. If you realize that truly God is just by his grace choosing to use us in our weakness and our foolishness, you know, whatever, then God can continue to use us. But if we're puffed up and we think we're about something, when it's all him anyway, then God's going to put us on a shelf. He'll set us aside. You know, God's gracious. He gives a lot of time. But if we don't repent and humble ourselves, God just removes us. They have Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, the Bible says he was walking on the walls of Babylon going, these are the great walls that I have built and I have done this kingdom, whatever. Well, you know, sometime before that, Daniel had gone to him and told him that God was going to be doing something and humbling him. And so he knew then he needed to repent. And yet he was still in his pride. Look at this great thing I've done. It says a voice fell from heaven and said, this very day, you're struck down. You're going to be like an animal in the fields eating grass. And I mean, there's actually a real condition, by the way, that some people get where they they become like animals. They kind of lose it and they eat grass and their nails, you know, they don't take care of themselves. So they're, you know, if somebody's not there to take care of them, they say their nails get real long and their hair, and they look like an animal. They act like an animal. And this is apparently what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And then after God dealt with Nebuchadnezzar for a while, it says he restored him. And then you read in Daniel what Nebuchadnezzar said. He goes, you know what? Now I know that there's a God in heaven, and he alone raises up and he alone sits down. He's God. You know, the Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, but promotion comes from the Lord. And it's directly tied to all these principles we're talking about. It's tied to humility. Now, again, the women here, it's interesting. It says they were dancing and singing. The word gives a picture of the women laughing and dancing. This great celebration, laughing, dancing, singing with excitement. Again, they're kind of like the cheerleaders, you know, when the team's coming back. David, 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 Saul, Saul, you know, this kind of thing. That's right. That's your pastor. I'm glad the people by radio can't see your pastor and what he does. So there's all this excitement, and they do these praises of Saul and these praises of David. And again, it could easily go to one's head. And it's interesting, in Saul's case it did. In David's case it didn't. Two men, both anointed of God to be king. One a miserable failure in the long run. One a great success, and we're still talking about him as one of the greatest men on the earth today. What was the difference in the two? One allowed pride to destroy him. And one said, God, make me humble. And he recognized that truly he was just a little shepherd boy, just little Davy. And if God chooses to use little Davy, praise the Lord. I love it with Saul. Remember, Saul was all puffed up. King, not King Saul, Saul the apostle, before he came to the Lord. He was all puffed up. And, you know, Saul was going to Damascus to get those Christians and shut this thing down, this ridiculous move of this Nazarene and all this stuff. And remember, God literally knocked him off his high horse, didn't he? And I love it because he changed his name from what? From Saul to guess what? Paul. You know what Paul means? Little or small. I think it was symbolic of how he viewed himself now. He said, you know what? I used to think I was about something. I know I'm not. And now I'm, instead of tall Saul, I'm small Paul. Humility. It's beautiful in God's eyes. It's beautiful. We need to seek it and ask God to do it. Because by nature, we are not humble. And so the key to being humble and remaining that way is to realize that any success we have is only God working through us. And if we ever think somehow that we're doing it, we're sunk. It's a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing for, you know, anyone that ever gets used in any measure and any fashion. It's dangerous. Again, as a young shepherd boy with no formal training, David knew. He wasn't raised up in the halls of kings and this kind of thing. He knew that it had to be God and not him that was giving him this ability and doing these things. You know, David couldn't say, I know why I was used so greatly with the Philistine and why this all happened, because of all those years of training, you know, and the all the years of, you know, I went to how to kill a Philistine school and took those classes and all those things that I trained for. And so now it just came to pass, and all I did was revert back to my training. That's all. Just reverted back to my training, and thank you very much. I mean, I appreciate that, but you too can kill a Philistine if you go to the how to kill a Philistine classes, you know. David just said, you know, I just love God, and I would get out in the field and learn how to sling rocks, because, you know, sometimes it gets pretty boring watching sheep. And, you know, just kind of got, you know, where I do that, and God called me, God anointed me, and one day said, you know what, you've been doing all that, I'm going to use you now. And I go and do the same thing as Philistine, and then there's David, and he takes him out. And David realized, this is a God thing. It's just the Lord. I love it. Again, it's when we somehow think that it's us, we get in trouble, and that's why God can often use those with lesser opportunities, really, and lesser abilities than even those who are greatly privileged. I think that's encouragement. If you're here tonight, you think, well, I don't have those many abilities, and I don't have this, you're a great candidate to be used by the Lord. It's just that when he starts using you, just keep that same mindset. Don't change it. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says this. I love it. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. If you're used, God's saying, well, you're a foolish thing. But I'm going to show people that even somebody as foolish as you can be used for my glory, because it's me, not you. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. But I'm so weak, I can't do anything. He says, I've chosen the weak things. Paul said, it's in our weakness that God's strength is mighty. And also, we have to be very careful again when God does use us. And often well-meaning people like the women here start giving us praise instead of God. And I think maybe oftentimes with a well-meaning heart. I'm not talking about encouragement, but sometimes, you know, sometimes real praise. It's very important that we point them to the Lord. And let God just kind of show them, hey, you know, it's just God's just neat. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I encourage you too, because if somebody comes up, you know, hey, God really used you. Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, you don't have to be this kind of thing, well, where it's very obvious. No, it's the Lord, you know, and kind of really make it obvious. Because that can be awkward as well. Just say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. You know, just acknowledging the Lord is good. And notice what happens to Saul because of his prideful heart. Saul was not just angry. Notice, very angry. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s. And to me, they've ascribed only thousands. Now, what more can they do but give him the kingdom? Very angry means literally to cause fire to burn. So it's this picture of a fire burning in the soul of Saul, in the heart of Saul. He's burning mad. You ever seen somebody burning mad? That's Saul. It's kind of seething under the surface, just flames, you know? And I love this. Notice, I don't love it, just the explanation of kind of what happens from that. So Saul eyed David from that day forward. It means he viewed him with great suspicion. Just watched him every move. There he is. He's the one. You just keep an eye on that guy. You know, he's trouble, right? David wasn't trouble. I mean, I think David was oblivious to all of it. He's kind of walking around just kind of, David, just loving the Lord and walking in the joy of the Lord and just enjoying the things of God. And Saul's over there going, you know, this kind of thing. Look at Golden Boy, you know. David didn't care. He wasn't trying to be anything. And so Saul was now jealous of David and feared that he would be upstaged and replaced by David. And that's really what jealousy is, the fear of being replaced. And although that was never David's goal or heart, it's another result of being advanced in the kingdom. And that is people around you are going to dislike you if God uses you. A lot of people will be very happy and they'll rejoice with you, but some people are they're just going to dislike you and they're going to be jealous and they're going to say things about you. And, you know, oftentimes the only way that people can lift themselves up is bring other people down. You know, well, they just this and that. Try to bring them down so because, you know, you can't lift yourself. You know, you can't lift yourself up. So bring them down. Sinful human nature. And this is key, guys. Note this. It's just as important how you handle that as it is how you handle being used by the Lord. In other words, the way you handle people not liking you because God used you, even as the way you handle your own situation when people give you praises, there's dangers on both ends. The way you handle it will determine whether God can continue to use you or not. If it goes to your head and you think you're great, well, God can't use you. If you start talking bad about other people that are talking bad about you or get bitter, then God's going to remove you because now you're bitter and he can't use you. So it's this place where you just have to keep your eyes on the Lord and just say, Lord, come what may, whatever. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. You know, one that has saved me numerous times from allowing bitterness to come in the heart. You know, guys, over the years, I don't have to tell you this. Over the years, people are going to hurt you. You're going to hurt people. But when you're the one getting hurt, what you do with that is huge. It's huge. And a lot of times you have to go to the Lord and you just have to say, you know what? Remind yourself, our battle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, it's not against the people around us, but our battle is against powers and principalities and heavenly places. It's kind of the same principle of the authority thing. We're not doing it for our authority as much as we're doing it for Jesus. He's the reason we're doing it. He's the focus. Then we can do it regardless of what our authority's like. We can still do the right thing, can't we? Regardless of what our authority's like. The same thing is true when it comes to this kind of stuff with humility. And that is, you know, or being, you know, serving the Lord or whatever. When people say things or people hurt you and saying, you know what, Lord, it's really not them. It's the enemy working through them. Yes, they'll be accountable, but it's really the Lord working through them. And so guys, as we wrap this up tonight, really the thing that we need to do is ask the Lord to humble us so that we can be clean before him, but also that he can use us. And here's another thing I want to pray for, that when God uses somebody around us in a greater way, that God would give us a heart that would celebrate. Thank you, Lord, for how you're using that guy. Thank you, Lord, for how you use them. Thank you, God, for what you've done for them. Thank you, Lord. I know of a pastor out west, who's actually kind of northwest, who the church, you know, had put aside $10,000 for a brand new computer system for all the church. And he saw God doing a neat work in another church nearby. And they didn't have any, their computers were way worse than that church's. And this was not a church of the same denomination or non-denomination. It was just another church in town. And God put in his heart something and he did it. And that is he took that $10,000 and bought that church a brand new computer system. And they stayed without. That's humility. We're all in this together, aren't we? It's the kingdom. We're God's family. Every church around us, guys, we're a family. We're not in competition. You know, we're not fighting against anyone. You know, it's interesting with the radio. And by the way, God's continues the radio neat things. We have let you guys know these things. We got we have this form that people fill out when they hear the radio. We got one from the Czech Republic yesterday. They don't attend a Calvary Chapel anymore. Just somebody who said, hey, my name's so-and-so, and I'm in the Czech Republic, and I found your station, and I love it, and it's on my computer, and I just, this is wonderful and all that. I'm going, you know, God does things far beyond what we ever dreamed or imagined. Who can imagine some little low-power station in Knoxville, Tennessee could be listening to in the Czech Republic? Again, technology, God can do, you know, it's amazing what God can do now and how things work. But I remember, you know, when we started even trying to communicate with some of the other stations in town and talking about the teachers and talking with the manager there and saying, you know, I wanted to know, here's what's happening. And, you know, we love you guys. We don't look at this as competition. We love you. We're here to support you. Anything we can do to help you, we're going to do it. You show us. How can we say, you know, well, if there's something you want to advertise on here, whatever, we're here to do that. And, you know, if there's any teachers, here's my list of teachers. If there's somebody on here who goes, well, you know, as a matter of fact, you got a couple of guys here that we have on our station, and, you know, we kind of already have them on, and people tune into our station to hear those guys. I said, they're off. Done. They're done. I scratched those two, took them off. We're not going to put them on. I said, because our relationship with you as a ministry is much more important than who listens to what station. We want to come alongside, work arm in arm. And we've got to have this attitude, this kingdom attitude. We're all family. We're working together. That's the kind of heart we need to have when it comes to working with each other and working in ministry. And so we need to pray that God will give us grace to rejoice when he uses others, that God will be that we can be faithful to apply these principles and watch God also use us when he chooses to do that. Not allow jealousy or envy to come in, not allow personal ambitions or whatever the case might be, but just say, you know what, we're just part of the kingdom. We're all part of God's family. We rejoice when others rejoice. We weep when others weep, and we work together as a kingdom principle. And so God is good. And I want to do that tonight. Again, as we end, I want to pray and just ask for God to make us humble. We need humility. God can do that. God's more than able to do that. And let's ask him to do it tonight. Because this is what God did in David's life. And this is how God was able to use David throughout his life. He was a servant. He learned how to come under authority and to submit to others. He behaved himself wisely. And he walked in humility before his God. As we need to ask God to apply these to our life, let's do it now. Let's pray. Father, we do right now just come before you and just admit the fact that we are sinful. And Lord, it's so easy for us to let pride come in or all these different things. But Lord, we see how you used David and we know why you used David. Because David understand the principles of advancement in the kingdom. Lord, David was a servant. And David knew how to come under authority. And Lord, David behaved himself wisely. He thought every situation through and thought the ramifications of each decision he made and everything that he said. God, have mercy on us to do that. Have mercy on me, Lord. Guard my tongue and my mouth and our hearts, Lord. And Father, he, at the same time, Lord, walked in humility. And Lord, humility is something that you just have to do. Lord, help us to see who you really are. And then help us, God, to see who we are. And we know, Lord, if that happens, that we'll walk in humility. Make us men and women, not only of humility, but of all these principles that we've looked at over the last couple of weeks, Lord, that we might be used by you. Because, Lord, that's our desire. And there's no greater honor and there's no greater privilege. And, Lord, we love you. And we acknowledge your greatness and your power and just give you glory tonight. Lord, do your work in our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.